Hello, listeners. Welcome to Cardboard Crusaders Cast. I am the host, Adam, and this is my co-host, Tyler.
Hi, how's it going?
I hope you enjoyed that wonderful track right at the start there. That was created by my friend, Nate Jertigan, and he is a wonderful music creator.
Right. I just wanted to come out and say that we are sorry for my voice sounding very robotic. We don't exactly know what's going on with mine, but we hope that you guys don't mind and will still listen to us.
Yeah, if anyone knows how to fix it, because we're actually recording on the same microphone right now, my voice sounds pretty clear, and he sounds like he's made of tin.
Yeah, the mic is literally sitting in between us on a table.
So it's the same one, and I don't understand why. But anyways, so I'm Adam, this is Tyler.
Hi.
And we are starting this podcast right now, or like a minute ago.
I am having a lot of fun already.
So we'll get right into things. If you want to hit us up, we just both started Twitter. Don't know how to use it, but we started it. And if you want to contact us, it'll be in the show notes. It'll be to contact me. It's @KneerAdam. That's my last name. KneerAdam. And then to contact Tyler, it is @ToolsMcGee.
We'll probably go over why my name is Tooler and Tools.
At some point in the lifetime.
At some point in these episodes of the podcast.
And for sure, we'll have one episode of the podcast. If you guys like it, at the end of the podcast, go to our Twitter. Tell us that you liked it, because we don't have any listeners.
Yeah, we're just starting. We want to know that at least one person has listened to us. And if you want, you can also tell us what we can do to make this better.
Yeah.
That would also be much appreciated.
My mom even said she's not going to listen to it, so that's like zero listeners right off the bend.
I haven't even told any of my family that we're doing this.
All right, Tyler, tell us about yourself, but like non-magic related. Let's get to know you.
I'm 19 years old. I went to high school for 4 years. That happened. I
hate you.
I went to Chisago Lakes High School. Played football, played baseball, did track for a couple of years, but parents pulled me out of that because of my grades. Never really got over that. I have 4 younger siblings. I have 2 younger sisters and 2 younger brothers that have just turned 6 months old, actually.
I haven't seen them in a while.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you, Adam?
Thanks, Tyler. I am Adam, as I've said. Me and Tyler went to high school together, and then we went to college together. We were roommates for a while, and then we hated each other because we lived in the same room. And now we're friends again, I think.
Hey, you.
We're business partners. So I have 4 older siblings, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Long intro. Why are people listening to us? What is this cast about? What are we about?
I think it's magic.
Okay, so that's a good start. We will mostly be talking about constructed formats. Neither of us are that experienced and limited, but we'll talk about our experiences that we have. Like, I've drafted, like, three times, maybe.
I think that the only draft I've still done was the Return to Ravnica one where I took first. And I'm going to keep it that way, because I'm at 100% right now.
Yeah, sometimes we'll draft our own cards that we buy, but, like, entering tournament drafts or even FNM drafts, we don't usually do. We usually play mostly standard. So this will be about constructed tournament results, deck building, brewing, standard tournaments. I'm running out
just
of the list.
What the hell is going on with the standard format and the modern format? We'll touch Legacy a little bit, but we're both still a little bit out of the loop on why the hell some of these cards are good.
Yeah. Tyler, when did you start playing Magic?
I started playing Magic right after the M13 pre-release. I didn't actually participate in that pre-release, but that's when I started.
How did you start?
I started because a couple of friends of mine were playing Magic at my lunch table in school. But previous to that, I actually hated Magic. I despised it because I thought it was just a waste. I thought my friends were throwing their time away. I was in football. I was feeling energetic. I was feeling good about myself.
A douchebag jock.
Yeah, basically. Except I wasn't friends with any of the jocks. I wasn't friends with them. I never fit in. But I don't know. I thought it was a huge waste of time. Like, you'd be outside doing anything. And ever since they showed me how to play, I have been playing Magic for, I think it's a little over 2 years now, almost 3.
It's almost 4, dude.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so almost 4 years now. But, so yeah, that's how I started playing. Yeah, some friends of mine introduced me because I finally just got curious enough to learn how to play because I would watch them and I just didn't understand what was going on. I mean, I had played, and I used played loosely, Yu-Gi-Oh! In elementary school. I basically just collected the Exodia pieces and thought I was the best.
That's how it works, right?
That's basically how it works.
Alright, yeah, I started playing Magic right after the Return of Ravnica pre-release. I didn't actually participate in it. I was just like Tyler. I absolutely hated it. Magic was just, it's not a video game, so you know it's not cool. It's cards. Cards are dumb. So I made fun of my friends for it, and I was a big hypocrite. And I started, and they finally convinced me to just like hang out with them at like FNM, and then the Return of Ravnica pre-release. I was like, everybody, you know, opens all these packs and leaves all these cards around. Why are they just sitting there? So I just started picking up cards, and then I ended up, I don't know, they were kind of interesting, and then I started playing, and I feel bad. But
it was,
hey.
It was really after I started playing going to FNM that you really started going.
Yeah, that's true. Well, because then, like, I was the only friend of the group, out of the group, that didn't play.
Yeah, I mean, every Friday we would go to hang out, you would ask us to hang out. It's like, no, we're going to FNM.
Yeah, Tyler, what was your first deck?
My first deck was actually the Black-White Exalted deck. It was the intro deck from M13. It was really bad. Oh, man.
You beat me with it all the time.
I know I beat you with it all the time, but it was still pretty bad.
But my first deck, I immediately, right off the start, all I wanted to do was build decks. And I still love deck building, and I'm a brewer. My first deck, it was a mono-black deck. It was thrown together the cards I had, obviously, but I had four copies of Phylactery Lich, which is it was kind of what the deck was based around, but it wasn't focused enough.
All I remember is Ring of Zeth.
Well, I mean, you had to have artifacts. Okay, Phylactery Lich is 3 black mana for a 5/5 indestructible. When he enters the battlefield, put a phylactery counter on an artifact you control. When you control no permanents with phylactery counters on them, sacrifice it. So basically, if you control an artifact, he's a free 5/5 indestructible. And I played like Ring of Zathrid and a bunch of other shitty artifacts and like Tormented Soul because I just put artifacts on it and yeah.
I remember one time you put the Ring of Zathrid on the Tormented Soul and our game went long enough to where it ended up being like a 10/10.
Yeah, Tormented Soul's a can't block, can't be blocked, 1/1 for one. Yeah, so that's pretty much how we got into it, and then from there, I just, you know, I kept building decks, and then I went to, like, blue-white token humans, whatever, and then I finally started having good decks.
I think the next deck I had after Black-White Exalted was actually the Jeskai Control List from Innistrad Return to Ravnica Standard. It was kind of thrown together, but the win condition was Assembly Agent, and I really liked that.
Didn't you play Naya Blitz before that, or?
No, that was after, that was at the end of that standard.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When I was Magic.
A little bit.
Swinging for 16 with locks on Smiter on turn 3 was pretty decent.
Boros Charm, Gorclan Rampager.
It was alright.
Those are some good cards.
Yeah.
We were able to build pretty good decks fast because we started with a group of like 5 people and we all shared cards with each other. So our friends were pretty helpful. What decks do you have right now, Tyler?
I am running a pretty rogue list. You know, I was just, I woke up one morning and I just thought, you know what, these cards would go good together. I'm calling it Dark Jeskai. It's just got Mana Shredder. Basically Jeskai with just black cards like Crackling.
Wow, that sounds original. I've never even heard of that.
I really hope that it becomes like at least tier 2.5.
I don't think it'll make it there. You can't run 4 colors in standard. What is this, modern?
I figured that because of the new dual lands, you know, they come into play untapped. I mean, obviously, I know you can't really fetch them on the spot.
How are you running basics in a 4-color deck? That's awful.
It's really weird.
I would never run 4-color.
Yeah, it's pretty bad right now.
Speaking of that, in standard, I am playing 4-color dragons, and it's not Dark Jeskai. It's Mardu with blue, because I hate Dark Jeskai. So I call it.
I still beat him like 7 out of 10 games.
Well, I'm still building the deck, so I call it Moist Mardu because it's like Dark Jeskai, but the other way around. I mean, it's just dragons, shit. It's pretty cut and paste. Tyler was lucky enough to have his Jaces before they broke the bank.
Yeah, I think I got Jace when he was down around 20 or 30.
What other decks do you have?
Have?
Yeah. That's just standard.
Oh, I guess. Right now, I also have Storm for Modern, which has been pretty bad lately.
But
it did top 8.
Yeah, it top 8ed recently.
It did top 8.
It was an IQ, I think.
It was an IQ.
It barely broke by through tiebreakers and
whatnot. I think it took 7th.
No, it was 8th.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But still, it won.
I thought it would be better than that.
That means it won a game. Weren't you just considering like getting rid of the deck?
I was actually considering selling my Storm list to get the last fetch lines for my standard list. But,
ew.
Yeah. But other than Storm, I actually have a Magus Elemental combo deck for Modern as well. It wins on turn 2, but it's very, very fragile. The point of the deck is to run like every Phyrexian 1-mana spell there is. And, just dump it on the Magus Elemental and then Tainted Strike targeting the Magus Elemental and swing for lethal impacts.
Yeah, that deck's, it's funny, and it beats people. It beats a lot of Tier 1 decks because you can't sideboard against it.
No, you can't. I actually had a Tarmo Twin player at the Minneapolis GP last year sideboard and dismember against me. He tried to dismember it in Magus Elemental turn 1 and just like play 3 spells. It lives, and I'm going to kill you next turn. So that was fun.
Yeah. What else? I've heard you play EDH.
I do play EDH. I was a bit of an asshole, so I built Kalia right away. It's still pretty bad, but I mean, you can't really go wrong with Demons, Angels, and Dragons, because they're all still pretty powerful when you cheat them into play.
You have, like, one dragon.
Yeah, but Malfagor, he's a demon dragon.
Oh, he's so bad.
Yeah, I know. Other than that, I actually have a Karana's Control list, which is basically just like Karana spells and some creatures to get devotion. But it actually does pretty well, as long as no one is out to get me at the beginning, which normally no one is, because I don't do anything really until turn 5.
Yeah, and I don't have a Modern deck, but I am actually currently working on Mono White Enchantments in Modern, mostly.
Completely destroy Storm. Warning you guys.
We test against each other a lot. It's basically, I just wanted a deck that felt like all 75 cards were just the whole sideboard. And it's fun to run Leyline. 4 Leylines in the main board, because a lot of decks just scoop to that.
Were you telling me that you played against Burn and that happened and you just scooped on the spot?
Yeah, I tested on Cockatrice a lot, and a lot of players just like leave the game right when I play a Leyline on turn 0. But yeah, so I'm working on that, and then in EDH I have Narset, which doesn't really lose, and I didn't try to make it broken, but that was when I started EDH, and then it kind of turned out broken, so I get hated on a lot of playgroups, so I made Krufix EDH.
Which is still broken.
It's not broken, it's just really good.
You just don't have the cards to make it broken.
True. Yeah, so I made that, and it's a little more fun. But yeah, so that's the decks we're running right now. I don't really have much interest in Legacy. Tyler has a little more than me, but he also doesn't make money enough to play Legacy.
I tried to build Legacy Storm once, and I bought like all the 50-cent cards, and then realized I couldn't afford any of the other pieces of the deck.
Yeah. Alright, well, let's move on. Tyler, what's your favorite part about Magic?
I really like the competitiveness. Like, the way it can fluctuate, it can be a very, very casual game for people to play on their kitchen tables at home. Or it can be just a super competitive, like, SCG Open Pro Tour kind of game. And that's what I really like about it. If I had to choose something else, it would probably be the amount of variety between decks. Like, that and, I don't know, there's a lot about it. Like, people's playstyle, if you see, like, Brian Kibler playing a red-green aggro list, and you saw someone else playing a red-green aggro list, you'd be able to tell who's piloting which one by the lines of play they tend to make the most. And that's what I like.
Are you stupid? I really... I don't know. I love everything about Magic, but, like, deck building is I love it. Like, I go to work and I just get these crazy ideas for decks, and I'll write it down on whatever I possibly can, like scratch paper. I'll write it on like napkins, or I'll go hide in the bathroom and write a deck list down on toilet paper or something. And if I had to choose, I'd rather build decks than play Magic. And I make brews all the time. And speaking of that, coming up after this, one of our segments is going to be Brew of the Week. Not going to start that now. I kind of sounded like I was going
to try it. Yeah, Adam's just going to try to brew a Magic deck every week and then not tell me about it because he's a jerk. And then we're just going to talk about it on air.
Yeah. But also, I love meeting people. I love going to different shops all the time and meeting all the different people. And I make a ton of friends playing Magic. And I don't know what I'd do without it now.
I love seeing new players also. Like just last Friday, I was helping a new player with his Black Green Aristocrats deck, but he kept on missing his Cutthroat trigger, and he just didn't know, like, how Delve worked exactly, but it was really nice to be able to, like, help him progress through that.
Alright, so we totally figured out that Tyler's not a robot.
For some reason, I was sitting on the other side of the table, and that made me a robot.
And now we have to sit next to each other because he's on this side and now his voice is clear. And, like, the mic, like, is sitting right in the middle facing up, so I have no idea.
We just have no idea. But I'm gonna power through this for you guys because I really don't want to sit next to this kid.
So thanks for bearing with us for the first 16 minutes of the cast of Tyler sounding like he was in a pop can.
I'll be back.
What? Oh, yeah. Okay, so we're going to move on to Brew of the Week.
So what did you come up with for this week, Adam?
Oh god, I made so many decks in the last week, but the one that really piqued my interest, last night at work, I listened to a podcast two nights ago, and it was about the Great Aurora, and I was like, oh, I love that card, I'm gonna play the Great Aurora, so I made a deck with, I was like, alright, four Great Aurora.
Are you actually playing the Great Aurora?
I'm not, I took it out of the deck. And,
that's because it's bad.
Yeah, so, what is it? It's green-white landfall, really. It's not an aggro deck. It gains a lot of life, and then it makes a ton of tokens.
I'm looking at the list in front of me, and it kind of just seems like, make tokens until you can just be on the offensive.
Yeah, so, it's green-white. I'll run down the list right now. The creatures... I have four Jetty Offshoot. He's the 1 green, 0/3 defender with landfall, gain a life. Four Rattleclaw Mystic, and two Nissa. I'd probably run more Nissa, but I actually only have two Nissa right now. So this list is slightly influenced by what I got. But, yeah, so those are only creatures. There's those 10. Jetty Offshoot on turn 1 gains like 1,000 life.
Not actually, but...
Yeah, but he can... You never know. I don't have a plan.
I mean, he could. We need Crucible of Worlds.
So then the main landfall triggers are from the green and white retreat from the retreat cycle. Retreat to Emyria and retreat to Kazandu. There are four of each of those. Retreat to Kazandu is the green one for 3 mana, and you can either put a counter on a creature or gain 2 life. And retreat to Emyria is... I was actually inspired a little bit by Sam Black's... Bant tokens list, and I saw 4 retreat, and I never considered it in a deck until I heard this. Retreat is 4 mana, 1 white, 3 other, and you landfall, you either make a 1/1 core ally, or you pump everybody +1/+1. And that does some cool things for me. With both those retreats, I can gain a lot of life and make a lot of chump blockers until I can play some of my cards like Explosive Vegetation and Nissa's Renewal, which are both 4 ofs, and they fetch for a bunch of land. And that gives me some crazy triggers. I also... And then with all that land, I...
Yeah, I was about to say, for being a landfall deck, do you have any, like, really cool lands in this list from the new sets or anything?
Yeah, I'm using 4 Blighted Woodland from the Blighted Cycle, though, the Explosive Vegetation on a land, and that curves really well after either of the retreats. It's just kind of free landfall, and it doesn't cost a spell, and it can't be countered, so that's great. I don't actually have, like, Ugin or Ulamog or any crazy big spells in here, but my payoff spells, I have 4 Secure the Wastes, because end of turn Secure the Wastes with Retreat to Emyria out is usually game when I have 6 to 50,000 land out.
I suppose, like, a Secure the Waste for 6 and then just curving that out with Blood and Blood the next turn is pretty good.
Yeah, like...
I think that's 20 right there.
Yeah.
I do math in my head.
Yeah, with Retreat to Myria, it's just... It does a lot. And then I also have two Master of the Unseen to throw some excess mana into. That was... Oh, yeah. And I also have two Quarantine Field because it's really funny to exile my opponent's entire board. And then...
I wouldn't say it's funny. I'd actually say it was pretty mean.
It's great. So yeah, the lands, I have two Foundry of the Consoles. That one makes the two Thopters because I can throw some counters on them with the Green Retreat or just pump them to get in over the top or chump a stupid Mantis Rider for two turns.
Hey, he did nothing to you. I don't know why you're hating on the old Rider.
I love him. And I have one Blighted Step, the white one, because I can gain a ton of life. And basically, I just want to survive until I can, you know, Alpha Strike for the win. It runs Fetch Lands, Evolving Wilds, Canopy Vistas, whatever. And yeah, that's the list. And I tested it on Cockatrice a lot over the last, like, 24 hours. And it is so funny. I usually get up to, like, 30 or 40 life, like, even against an aggro deck. And then I just turn it around and make 1,000 tokens. And it does work.
The noob player in me is coming out right now, and I feel like you should play that one now. I think it's 6 mana, 4/4 with Vigilance, maybe Lifelink. If you have 40 or more life at the beginning of your upkeep, you win the game.
God, what's his name?
I don't even remember.
He's a big cat.
Yeah, he's the big cat.
Yeah, he's a 4/6, actually.
Oh, he's a 4/6?
Yeah.
Even better.
6 or 4/6, Lifelink.
Even better. All right, well, I think Adam's actually going to go and find that card so that we actually know what the hell it is.
I am so... I don't want to talk away from the mic. I am so bad with card names, and you'll learn that. I can remember, like, every word on a card except the name. I just can't remember that. And it's Felidar Sovereign. I knew that.
That one. Yep.
Yeah, 4/6.
He's a cat beast.
I know. I thought about it, but instead I decided to just play more Secure the Waste. Yeah, so that's my deck of the week.
I would immediately think this was bad if you had Felidar Sovereign in this deck.
You know, I actually considered it. It was one of the first things I considered. After playing with it, too, because I get to 40 life so often. But, yeah, so that's my brew. And the thing about it is I just make so many. Like, I just brew so many decks. So you never know. I'm going to try to come up with something creative. They're not always going to be the best decks, but they're going to be at least fun. That's, like, step one, make a fun deck, and then see if it's good.
They're just kind of – they're going to kind of be, like – a budget, pretty decently competitive deck.
Yeah, it's not always going to be budget. Sometimes I want to throw 4 Jace in a list. But
yeah,
like,
maybe.
Ugh.
But looking at this deck list, I just want to have us all hold our hands and heads down and pray to the magic gods that Bile Blight no longer exists.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I played Jeskai Tokens before this, and Bile Blight was the devil. The literal devil.
Literally.
Literally the devil.
But yeah, so if anyone has an idea for a list, needs to get some worked out,
we'd be more than happy to help you guys out with any of your own brews, and if you just want to shout out a list to us, maybe we'll say it at the next podcast, who knows?
Yeah, well, we can go over a list that you have. If you guys need help with the list, if you want me to build you a deck, if you're on budget, whatever, just tweet at me. I'm Adam. And I will help you build a list. Tyler can help too, but
I will help, but normally I'm pretty bad.
Yeah, so come to me with that stuff. Yeah, so that's that. I need to pause this. All right, are you guys ready to listen to us talk about Standard?
Specifically the Pro Tour.
That came up last weekend. It's currently
I don't know if you guys Thursday. Saw that or not, but that's pretty big deal, maybe.
Yeah, so it's the third week of the new format, and a few commentators from Star City, they were like, oh, the format's solved, and, you know, week two it seemed like that, but it was just all the decks that were good against red deck.
I really just want to talk about the number one and number two spots in the Pro Tour Top 8. Just regular Obzon, regular Jeskai. That actually threw me for a loop. I wasn't expecting just regular 3-color to be as good as the 4-color decks. I know that the mana base might be a little bit better with the four color list just because of all the fetch lands running around, but I feel like with a more focused three color deck, it was actually better. It was a better metagame choice for the Pro Tour.
Yeah, thing that these decks are doing, which we haven't seen yet, with the lands, all the wedge colors, the Abzan and Jeskai, and those colors, the land bases suck, unless you kind of cheat. Like, this Abzan deck is running four Wooded Foothills just and four Flooded Strand just so that it can fetch its off-color and other on-color new Battle for Zendikar dual lands. And that is kind of a neat thing that I would have never thought of, and that's, you know, if they weren't doing that, like, if they were just playing, like, just the tri-color lands, and they definitely wouldn't have done as good. Like, you couldn't play any low-curve strategy.
If I'm not mistaken, I think the Jeskai list was actually running Mystic Monastery.
Yeah, Mystic Monastery is actually the land that saw the most play in the Pro Tour.
Really?
Yeah, which is really surprising.
I'm not surprised by that. A lot of the Dark Jeskai lists were also running, I believe, just two Mystic Monasteries, but still three-color lands.
Yeah, even this Jeskai deck, it only runs two Mystic Monasteries, and it runs four Windswept Heath and four Wooded Foothills, which are off-color fetches, but, you know,
double. Yeah. Another thing I wanted to mention was the amount of play that Silkwrap saw. I wasn't expecting that to be, like, the primary source of removal.
Last week at the second Star City Open of the format, I heard that all of the Silkwraps in the room got bought out, like, right away.
I wouldn't be surprised with how many.
It answers everything. And, like, you know, decks have Dromoka's Command, whatever. It's still good. Like, it's a permanent answer to a hanger back and whatever, it does what it needs to do.
I actually didn't realize that the first time I saw it until I saw someone put it on a hangerback walker. And then I just realized that, you know, you could Dromoka's Command, but it's just going to come back at 0/0 and die.
Yeah, so let's do a rundown of the top eight. First place was Abzan by Kazuyuki Takamura. And
it's just the typical thing.
It just runs Abzan cards.
Yeah, it's got four Rhinos, and that's basically all you need to win the Pro Tour, as we saw from the last one.
Yeah, people thought the last Open there were no Siege Rhinos in the top eight, but...
Which I was thankful for.
Maybe people let their guard down.
I think they might have.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's a possibility.
Second place is Jeskai Midrange, with another Japanese player. I'm going to botch this, but Ryoichi Tamada?
I think that's how the commentators of the Pro Tour were pronouncing it.
I'll go with it. Third place, regular Abzan, again. With Paul Dean.
Do we see anything out of the ordinary right here?
For Gideon, that's so weird.
Not really. Gideon's a powerhouse. I just didn't realize how much of a powerhouse he was to run four of them.
Yeah, we'll talk about Gideon in a second. Next is Dark Jeskai with John Finkel, arguably the best Magic player in the world.
I just want to point out that this guy has 15 Pro Tour top eights.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Yep, next place is Atarka Red with, Paulo Vitor Dama de Rosa, that's a lot of words. PV, for short, that's what people call him. PV has 10 Pro Tour top 8s.
Really?
I am correct, yeah, so
I didn't think he was up there that much.
There's some competition going on here.
There really is.
Next place is Dark Jeskai with Owen Turtenwald. Pretty simple Dark Jeskai. Yeah.
What I'm seeing in his list, though, is Dig Through Time instead of Treasure Cruise. A lot of the Dark Jeskai lists are running Treasure Cruise instead of Dig Through Time. Besides John Finkel and Owen Turtenwald, though. They're the only two lists that I've seen with Dig Through Time lately.
Yeah, like this pure Jeskai deck, it runs Treasure Cruise instead of Dig Through Time. But
yeah.
Finkel and Turtenwald, the Jeskai deck is running Treasure Cruise, and the Dark Jeskai is running Dig Through Time now.
Otherwise, Martin Mueller actually top 8 with Jeskai Tokens, which I actually thought was just going to be completely out of the format in general.
Yeah, but apparently Gideon is good, so I heard.
Gideon is pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, we still have Outburst and Dragon Fodder, and hey, there's a Secure the Waste, and four Silkwrap to protect your Jeskai Ascendancies from Dromoka's Command.
Yep, I thought Tokens was going to be gone as soon as you couldn't soak someone four times in one turn.
That's like combo, I hated that.
It was great.
Yeah, and then, finally... the last spot, well, they're actually the last four decks were tied 5 through 8. Selesnya Megamorph, well, green-white Megamorph, whatever. It's just a stock green-white Megamorph list from last week. Gideon into Wingmate Rock is amazing. And
that is pretty good.
Like, no matter how you do that, it works out.
I was also surprised by the amount of Wingmate Rocks in the Pro Tour.
Good right now. There's a lot of Mantis Riders.
I know, but I felt like that card was so pushed out that I didn't think people would think to really look to that. He has it like has a 5-mana card.
Well, people would rather play Wishboard Elemental before, and there's just other shit. Like play 4 Elspeths. Can't do that anymore.
That's true.
One of the top cards that saw play in the whole Pro Tour, I think it was like number 6, was actually Surge of Righteousness.
Which I need to be running in my sideboard like right now.
It's a good card. 2 mana, 1 white, 1 other instant. Destroy target black or red creature that's attacking or blocking. You gain 2 life. I don't know if you know this, but
the format is red or black.
Yeah, kind of minus green white, which is this deck. But I mean, it hits Mantis Rider, it hits Siege Rhino, and right now with Atarka Red being like a combo deck with
the whole Titan Strength, the Calamence combo.
Yeah. You can't just board wipe. Like the deck doesn't go. You know, you can't just Radiant Flames, which is still good, but the deck doesn't have to go wide. It can play 1 or 2 threats and then just, like, pump them at you.
I saw someone at the Pro Tour Radiant Flames to wipe the Tarka Red's board, and then he just played a Swift Spear, a Tamer Battle Rage, and a Becalm Mens in 1.
Yeah.
Just on the spot. And I was amazed by that, because you don't see that from a red deck. Normally they get board wiped. And especially now, because most of the good burn that was in Standard rotated. So, I mean, we do have Exquisite Firecrack, but no one wants that, really.
Sorcery speed sucks. All right, so yeah, that was the top 8, and you have to think beyond the top 8, too. There are plenty of other decks. We'll go over what piqued our interest after.
Did I just see Rakdos Dragons?
Yeah, I mean, Rakdos Dragons is still a good deck. Let's go over the top 8 decks a little more in depth, though.
Okay.
The Abzan deck in first place, a few things out of the ordinary, is 4 Shambling Vent, and that surprised me because you need all your basics so that your new lands coming on tap. But it's actually only running 4 of those total.
Yeah, it has 2 plains and 2 forests, which...
And 12 fetches, though, so...
I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean.
But Shambling Vent, I saw it do a lot of work with Dromoka's Command and Abzan Charm, putting a lot of counters on it. You gain a ton of life and beats all the sorcery speed removal that's in the format right now.
Mm-hmm. Especially the weaker Hero's Downfall. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't afford to be running that anymore.
Yeah. Warden of the First Tree is back. He's a 4 of. He replaces Siege Rhino and Elvish Mystic in those slots, I think. Because there's nothing else to do on turns 1 and 2. And he's decent. He does work early game and late game, but like he's just kind of necessary right now. What? No?
Oh.
Like, on turn 1, you play an Elvish Mystic.
Yeah, no, but you said you play Siege Rhino.
No, I said Policeman Lion.
Never mind. I'm just an idiot.
Yeah, so yeah, it's got 4 Warden, 4 Siege Rhino, 4 Den Protector, and it doesn't run Deathmist Raptor, which is kind of surprising. But
I think just the card advantage from Dead Protector was worth it.
Apparently Dead Protector is good on his own. And the cool thing is Gideon curves really well into Dead Protector because you can play Gideon minus 4 him to make an emblem and then just get him back the next turn with the Dead Protector. And that's a thing that we saw a lot in the Pro Tour.
Yeah, I mean, apparently Gideon's good.
Yeah, so the thing about Gideon is there's a lot. And every deck that runs Gideon runs 4 because you can just, you know, kill him.
Kill him.
Yeah, to make a... make an emblem and then get another Gideon. There are...
And I just want to point out that Glorious Anthem didn't see as much play in its standard life as Gideon is right now.
Yeah.
And this is, what, week 3 of the standard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even, like, Spear of Heliod didn't see any play except, like, a 1-of. But, so, yeah, 5 out of the top 8 decks are running 4 copies of Gideon. And no, there are no 3-ofs, no 2-ofs. No decks just throw. I think there's an Esper control deck that even runs 4 Gideon.
Esper Dragons up at the top?
No, Esper Planeswalker control down here.
Ah.
Yeah, 4 Gideon.
He's just that good.
Yeah. So yeah, the second place Jeskai Midrange deck. It went out of the ordinary. We've been seeing a lot of Soulfire Grandmasters lately, and this deck decided to run 4 Seeker of the Way.
Which I thought was really cool, especially like if you think the room is gonna be Abzan or some form of Abzan, when they make their warden a 3/3, you can actually just safely attack into that with a seeker.
Yeah, he's good right now. He can attack into a Mantis Rider as well, which is a big deal. And Mantis Rider is kind of a good card now again.
Pretty sure the Mantis Rider might be above Siege Rhino in the most played creature right now.
I mean, obviously Jace is the most played creature.
You're right.
Jace and Hangerback are up there.
Yep.
But Mantis Rider is probably the most efficient and tempo threat in the format.
He's great.
Siege Rhino is still there, though. He's a good card.
Yeah, but Siege Rhino sucks.
I know. He's just mean.
He's so bad. Don't play him, guys. Whatever you do, don't play him.
Another thing about this Jeskai deck, runs 4 Jeskai Charm. And if you were watching the Pro Tour, he kind of just owned it in Jeskai Charm, putting to the top of the library. He was playing against John Finkel in the semifinals, and he bounced his Tazigar like 4 times with like only 2 Jeskai Charms with flashing back with Jace and whatnot. 4 Valor Stands, you don't see that a lot.
Again, I think if you think the room is going to be all Siege Rhinos and Enfenza, it's a good hedge.
Oh yeah, for sure. Fiery Impulse, it played 4 of those, and it played 0 Wild Slash because 3 damage is better than 2. And you don't see any cases, you rarely see the case where your opponent's a 2 life, oh, I wish this Fiery Impulse was a Wild Slash, rather than, oh, my opponent played a Mantis Rider and I'm stuck with a Wild Slash.
No, the thing that you're going to do with Jeskai and Dark Jeskai is clear the board for your Mantis Riders and your other threats to end the game. You're not looking to end the game with Burn.
Yeah. 3 Treasure Cruise, 4 Gideon, 1 Silk Wrap, just because it's good. Nothing super exciting in the sideboard. It played a Mastery of the Unseen, which we saw won a couple of games. There's a Rending Volley, 1 mana instant. Can't be countered, 4 damage to a white or blue creature.
Which, I know I was going to see a lot of play in Modern for Twin, but I never really saw it having a place in Standard except for getting like rid of Ojit Tai. Yes, I read that card correctly. For some reason, I thought it said, like, without flying or something, but the art is literally a picture of a dragon falling from the sky.
He has a lot of arrows. Next up is another Abzan deck. It's pure Abzan.
Just the Abzan.
Yeah, it's just, it runs Abzan cards. Only 3 Jamoka's Command, 3 Abzan... 3 Abzan Charm. 3 Murderous Cut. It's kind of a lot. But, it's instant speed and we don't have downfall. And
they do have 11 fetches, which feels delve amazingly. Wait, never mind. They have...
14.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot. I've only ever run 12 before I modified my Dark Jeskai list to have, 10.
Yeah. Alright, next up, the John Finkel's Dark Jeskai list. It's Dark Jeskai. You have so many options that the decks are never going to be exactly the same. 4 Jace, 4 Mantis Rider. Only 2 Soulfire Grandmasters. It runs a Dragon Master Outcast, which is we've seen a lot of work do with Ojit Tai's Command. And 3 Tazigar, which is kind of a lot, but...
I want to point out his mana base really quick. He's running 4 Mystic Monastery and 1 Nomad Outpost.
Yeah, your deck will slow down a little bit, which this deck... seems a little slower. It can go fast, but like if you get perfect mana, then it doesn't matter what you draw and you can cast everything. So that's how it is. He's got 2 Dispel main board, which...
That's interesting.
Everything's an instant. Like, I know it seemed like this format went Sorcerer Speed, but people just started playing...
Even the creatures are instant speed right now. Mantis Rider, Siege Rhino.
Yeah, they're instant. 4 Crackling Doom... 3 Ojit Tai's Command instead of 4, but it also has Culligan's Command to bring creatures back, 3 of them.
Which I just want to point out that Culligan's Command to get rid of, like, I was put in this scenario against Adam today. We did a little playtesting before we started the cast. But I was able to kill his Hangerback Walker with Culligan's Command and bring back a Mantis Rider that he killed, I believe, the turn before. And it was super good.
Yeah, the Shatter option, you don't see it too often, but it can happen. And instant speed discard is pretty cool, at the end of their draw step, whatever, then they have no top deck.
I believe I got you to discard either Thunderbreak Regent or an Ojit Tai.
Yeah, I had a Thunderbreak. I didn't have any double red, though, so I died. Take your time. Runs 1 Outer End, because it's just a catch-all, and sometimes if you don't see your creatures, you're going to have trouble with Planeswalkers.
Well, the other thing that I found with Dark Jeskai, maybe Jeskai now, but I'm not exactly sure, is, Planeswalkers are a problem for this deck. You don't have a lot of ways to just straight up kill it without dealing direct damage to it.
There's not a lot of ways to kill Planeswalkers in general. Like, even Stoke was a decent answer against Planeswalker, just because you could end a turn Stoke him and then, you know, finish it off with a 1-1 or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, now... I mean, you played a Sarkhan against me, took it up to 5, attacked me, and I have no way to get rid of it because you can leave up a blocker for me to not attack it.
And speaking of Sarkhan, there's a Sarkhan. Yeah, this one doesn't run Gideon's because, I don't know, whatever reason. It has a lot of removal. And then some cool things in the sideboard. It runs 2 Exert Influence, which is the 5-mana sorcery, not an enchantment, which is relevant, with 1 blue for other. Converge, gain control of target creature if its power is less than or equal to the number of colors of mana spent to cast it. And it's a 4-color deck, so you can't take Ojutai, but it hits everything that's relevant. Taking a Siege Rhino or a Mantis Rider or a Jace does work.
It's pretty good. I don't know why you'd want to take Jace.
Because then you could tap him to get your own Planeswalker.
But you can't?
He doesn't...
Yeah, he does.
Oh, owner's control. Never mind. I've seen some pretty cool stuff with Jace and Exert Influence where Jace Planeswalker lowers the power of a creature and then Exert Influence takes something bigger than it should.
Which you can do against Ojutai.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so that's that deck. There was only one copy of Ataka Red in the top 8, but...
I feel like that deck was hated out, though.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it was.
Pretty hard.
It only runs 14 creatures for a red deck, and it doesn't even have a lot of burn, because there's none in the format. Because it just plays one, maybe two threats, swings in, and then just pumps all the creatures.
Looking at the list, it runs 2 Lightning Berserker, but 4 Abbot of Carol Keep. If I were running this deck, I might have actually done the opposite. I would have done 4 Lightning Berserker and 2 Abbot. Maybe 3, but I don't know. I don't actually know what else to cut.
Yeah, it runs 3 Become Immense, which is a lot of delve, but the deck runs 10 fetches.
It runs 10 fetches, and if you're going to combo kill someone, you only need 1.
Yeah, it runs 3 because you need to see 1, and you don't want to see 2, but it's not the worst.
It runs 3 Tamer Battle Rage, 3 Become Immense, because you don't need to see those 2 cards, but you want to see those 2 cards.
Yeah, you want one of them, and that's what you do. 3 Chandra Fire Kaladesh in the sideboard, because why not?
I guess.
Yeah, there's nothing too interesting in the sideboard. There's a Boiling Earth that does 1 damage to each creature your opponent controls.
I don't know, if they saw tokens making a surge in this, I guess. But I actually don't know why that card is in the sideboard. There's only 1, too.
Yeah, just because. It's a catch-all for 1-1s.
I guess.
Next up is Dark Jeskai. Is this an exact copy of John Finkel's list?
Yes, it is.
Yep.
I believe they work together on their list.
Yeah. Oh, something to point out is there's a 3 Erishin Cleric in the sideboard, which is really good with Ojutai's Command. You can gain a lot of life.
You can, yes. Gain 4, bring that back, gain another 3.
Yep. That Jeskai tokens list is next. Nothing out of the... I mean, it's what you think Jeskai tokens would be. It runs Jace because it's blue.
Well, then Jace is just the best card in standard right now.
Yeah, there's an Arcet in the sideboard because, you know, it...
I guess.
Cast a lot of spells. Both of them are relevant to the game plan, and you can protect her with all your tokens.
Yeah, what I realized that Arcet was the biggest for me was... when it first came out, I wanted to run it instead of Outpost Siege, because I wanted to test with it.
Planeswalkers are cool.
Yeah, Planeswalkers are also really cool. But the number one thing that she did for me is that players would attack her and not me. That's just the biggest thing. That's basically all she did. Because I would actually have to say 4 out of 10 times, I would not get a card from her. And, I mean, rebounding was nice, but it always just felt slow.
Could have reduced that fraction. Say 4 out of 10.
Fine, whatever. I'm math, guys. It's something you should learn.
I'm just saying. There's some Wingmate Rocks in the sideboard, because it's a good card, I guess, and sometimes you need some flyers.
Well, I mean, I suppose this card has some trouble against Mantis Rider.
Yeah, and notably, with the new Fetchland strategy... The deck runs 4 Polluted Deltas and 4 Bloodstained Mires. It's only Jeskai, except in the sideboard there are 2 Crackling Doom.
Which, in my opinion, is actually the best removal in the format right now.
Oh, yeah. Every time I've ever cast it, it just feels good. Like, it always hits what I want it to. I don't care. Two damage is relevant.
Well, especially in Jeskai, you really just want to get rid of the biggest thing that's going to kill you the fastest.
Yeah, if he can block Mantis Rider, it'll die to Crackling Doom.
Yep.
All right, then that Selesnya, or Green-White Megamorph, I'm just reading off MTG Top 8, and it says Selesnya.
Kind of bothers me, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it is. We don't have any other Green-White names, but
I know.
It's just weird. It's just
but
weird, because it's the only guild name in the entire...
In anything.
Oh, there's Rakdos Dragons, it says. Whatever, MTG Top 8's weird. Yeah, this deck is... It's exactly what we've seen. It runs three Nissas and two Hidden Dragon Slayers, which is cool.
Otherwise, it's pretty much what we've seen out of Megamorph for the past.
Yeah, it's just Den Protector. Den Protector, Deathmist Raptor, and four Gideon, and that's pretty much the deck. Drimoka's Command is a good card,
especially with Deathmist Raptor.
Yeah, for sure. It's sometimes Drimoka's Command is all you can do to kill a Mantis Rider. In the sideboard. Nothing exciting. Surge of Righteousness, because it's a good card.
Three of them.
More Valor Stance.
There is Evolutionary Leap, which I actually just kind of skipped over when I saw it in the spoilers for Origins, but turns out that card is pretty damn good.
Yeah, it does work. It's card advantage. It blanks your opponent's removal.
It's card advantage on a stick.
It's really good with Mastery of the Unseen, and I've played
that. Oh, definitely.
There's Tragic Arrogance, which is surprisingly a great board wipe.
It is my favorite board wipe that I've ever played with.
Give you some selection.
Second to Terminus. I love Terminus. I love the whole Miracle aspect. If you know me, I actually have a tattoo of Entreat the Angels on my chest.
Nerd. All right, Tyler. The next 15 decks are right here for you to see. What is the first one that catches your
Oblivion Band.
Oblivion Band. Alright, so Sam Black, guys, he came to the tournament with this awesome brew.
Oh, is this the deck that you built yours off of? Like,
the Retreat to Mirror. Yeah. So it's Bant tokens, and heads up, it's really blue. There is two Dispel. That's the only blue spell in the main board. And
one Negate in the sideboard, is that it?
And a Negate in the sideboard. And it's because you can. Just free. It's free to run another color. And Lumbering Falls. That's not a bad card.
Plus the, these are the allied colors, right?
Yeah.
Because the allied colors in standard right now have the best mana base.
Well, they have two on-color fetches. So this deck...
No, they have two on-color battle lands.
Well,
that's
that too. But also two on-color fetches. Yeah, so this deck is... It's green white. It's called Oblivion Bant. I don't know why. There's one Oblivion Sour in the sideboard. But either way, it's tokens, kind of.
I guess they just called it Oblivion Bant because it sounds cool.
Yeah, it runs four Retreat to Emeria and four Gideon, and that can make a lot of dudes with all your fetch lands and the one Blighted Woodland, which is cool to curve after Retreat. Four Silkwrap to protect the Retreats, and there's two Stasis Snare and a Quarantine Field as a catch-all. Three Secure the Waste to make a ton of dudes, and Secure the Waste is really good with Gideon.
Yep, Elvish Visionary, We May Rock, some Nissa.
Why is that?
Probably just cards.
Yeah, there's three Elvish Visionary in here, which we haven't seen anywhere else, and...
I really wanted Elves to be a deck.
Yeah, but it's not.
Yeah.
Four Nissa Vastwoods here, because you're going to get a land.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny, because Nissa actually, when she's flipped into Planeswalker form, has the best card draw out of any Planeswalker in standard right now.
Yeah, her plus one is, like, draw a card plus.
Yeah, you're either ramping or get drawing a card, and that's amazing.
Landfall is cool with Retreat to Emeria, which is, like, my new favorite card. And Wingmate Rock, because flyers are good, and it curves into Gideon well. So that's that deck. Alright, I went four Surge of Righteousness in the sideboard, because it's good.
Really good. Yep.
Card is surprisingly doing great.
That's really all I see. I mean, we've seen Bring to Light in the Star City Open.
Bring to Light's not good anymore. It had two, there were two of them in the top 32.
Yeah, there were two. I think just people realized that... They realized just kind of how to beat it.
And there's only two ofs in the decks. Yeah. The Bring to Light deck, it's just...
I mean, in the...
It's kind of slow now. Like, you'd rather just run four ofs of good cards
Yeah, I mean, even in the open series, when we saw Bring to Light, it was just... Bring to Light is just more rhinos, kind of.
Here we have a Mardu control list with Kita Kawasaki. Oh, okay.
Man, look at all those planeswalkers.
Yeah, it runs 3 Mon Pa, Chandra.
Pia and Kieran Millar.
Chandra's parents.
Which is just called P and Q.
I needed an altar of that.
I saw that on Reddit. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's a pretty good card with Gideon.
Bad to see P and Q color like that. It's so funny.
Mardu Charm as a 3-of, which I really like. It doesn't see a lot of play, but...
Instant Speed Dress really feels good.
Yeah, it does things, and it is the perfect deck for it to be in.
Otherwise, looking at this list, I see 4 Gideon, 2 Sarkin, 1 Soren Solemn Visitor, and 1 Omnixilis. I want to see Omnixilis in play. I don't know how good that card actually is.
He's gonna kill a creature and then maybe draw you a card and probably die. But he gives you advantage...
I feel like he's a planeswalker that you have to play on a stable board. He will in no way help you play from behind.
Yeah, and Tyler talked about the red-black dragons list earlier. Well, he noticed it. It curves Pia and Kira Nalar into Culligan the Storm's Fury. Apparently that does damage.
You've killed me numerous times with that in our playtesting.
Yeah.
Otherwise, got
4 Thunderbreak, 4 Culligan. Like, it just doesn't need white because it's running other good stuff. You know, the 2-color allows it to run Ruinous Path for the double black.
Yeah, I mean, that's just really good. And it also runs Foul Tongue Invocation, which we actually haven't seen a lot of.
Mostly because if you give your opponent the choice of what creature to sacrifice, they'll choose their Hangerback Walker.
Yeah.
But it runs 3 Complete Disregard, which is 3 mana, instant, avoid, exile creature with power 3 or less.
Which is also really good against Hangerback Walker.
Which is why you can run Foul Tongue Invocation.
Yep.
2 Obnixilis in the main board. I've never seen more than one. And, that's the deck.
Yeah, Elpo Siege in the sideboard, some Cruxes. It's got Dragonmaster Outcast in the sideboard. I actually didn't see that.
Yeah, because... You know what's really weird? This deck doesn't run Culligan's Command.
That's hilarious.
I just think it's weird in a pure red-black deck.
Do you see more than 2 colors?
No.
Okay, because it's running Radiant Flames in the sideboard.
It has a Cinderglade that it can fetch for.
Okay, that makes sense. I was wondering about that.
Yeah. All right.
Because I mean, if you have to cast Radiant Flames for 3 just to kill 1 Mantis Rider, you're probably gonna have to.
Yeah. And there is a dedicated green red landfall list for Scythe Leopard for 3 Snapping Gnarlid, Swift Spear, Den Protector, Abbot of Carol Keep.
It was interesting because I actually saw. A Tarkaret playing Den Protector to get a step above Surge of Righteousness.
Yeah, that's another thing. This deck runs Snapping Gnarlid, which is just the bear with +1/+1 landfall, and it's not running McKindy Slide Runner, which is the 2/1 trampler, which is arguably better, but doesn't die to Surge of Righteousness.
Yep. So people are actually starting to play around that card because if you're going for that Becoming Man's Timber Battle Rage plan,
you'll get blown out.
Just Surge of Righteousness your creature, it's just a waste. So if you can do that on Den Protector, you can't even block that.
Yeah. So that's the Pro Tour, and
I had a lot of fun watching that. I always learn so much watching pro players play.
Yeah, and. I don't think the format's not solved. There's so many more decks that can come out of it. And
so many, and I cannot wait for Oath just to see what else...
the next set?
Yeah, the next set is going to bring for Standard, and possibly even more, because, I mean, we've seen at least Jace. We've seen Jace reach Modern, Legacy, and I believe he reached Vintage for a little while. I don't know if he's still there. But, I mean, a 2-mana Planeswalker is just too good, as we've noticed.
Yep. Just ask Tybalt.
He's the exception.
Tybalt's always the exception.
I forgot he existed.
Yeah, so I'm thinking there's a lot of decks that can come out of it. I think Sam Black is an amazing deck builder, and...
Well, yeah, he's your favorite pro player.
That's true. We'll see what just comes out of the format. I think that people were expecting the Pro Tour to be shooken up, and we all were, including me. But it wasn't really. It was, you know, Abzan and Jeskai colors, whatever that would come out of it.
The same as we saw in the last Pro Tour.
But I think that we got through with Red Deck winning the first Open, and then Green White and Jeskai Black, which are good against Red Deck, winning the next Open. And it's going to spread out from here. It'll
get there. I just feel like Red Deck, if you can easily just play to beat Red Deck. It's too easy right now.
Yeah, that's how green-white decks are built. Like, they're just built, like, step one, beat red deck. Step two, figure out a way to win.
I don't know, these decks are looking pretty good.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's just full good cards right now, and Gideon is...
I just feel like Surge of Righteousness in your sideboard, and you basically just can't lose to red deck. But Pro Tour was fun. I cannot wait for the next SCG Open. See if any changes were made to the top decks, and see if there's any, like, brews that are going to make it to top 8.
Yeah, and we're actually pushing about an hour right now, which I didn't think I could talk for a whole hour.
I didn't either. We reached about 16 minutes in that first segment, and I thought that we were going to at least maybe, like, at the most hit half an hour.
So, here's the thing. We don't know what we're doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just talking to a mic.
That's
next to Tyler.
That's because he's the idiot.
Someone's got to be. Hey, usually it's you. We take care of it. So anyway, so we don't know what we're doing. We're just talking. If you have any suggestions, if you like anything we did, if you have any ideas for new segments, Tyler needs a thing, guys.
I need a thing. I mean, we kind of planned on me talking about Eternal formats, but we just kind of ran out of time.
Yeah, so we'll get to it another week, and you guys only want to listen to us talk for so long.
And I can only talk about Eternal formats for so long. I mean, Star City is mainly doing standard right now, so there's not a lot to go on. I mean, sure, there's NPGO and, like, iTunes and stuff like that, but there's just not enough for me to talk about it every week.
Yeah, it's gotta figure shit out.
I need a place, guys.
Yeah.
I need to be found.
I need a place
to call home.
Yeah, so if you want to contact us, tell us how we're doing. Hit us up at Twitter, which we don't know how to use, at Kinnear Adam or at Tools McGee.
TOOLMCGE.
It's Tools. There's an S. Is there an S?
Yes. I'm sorry. TOOLSMCGE. Tools McGee.
Because he is Tools.
I am a tool.
You're not a tool. You're the tool.
The toolies tool in the tool bag of tools.
So normally, because no one ever reads the show notes, read the show notes, because I have a lot to say on there. I'll post our Twitter names or the apps, whatever they're called. I don't know how Twitter works, but I'll post them. We made them. I'll throw down some contact information. Or does Nate have a Twitter? The guy who's going to make our music for our podcast, I will throw some information down about that. And if you like the music, tweet at me or Tyler,
and we'll see if he can see if he has a Twitter, or if he'll at least make one for you guys to, like, be like, yo, dude, that was sick.
Yeah, so please just give us suggestions of what we can do to improve. I'm gonna work on getting a better mic. Probably next week we'll have a lot better mic.
We actually don't, because we're together for this podcast. We're sitting right next to each other. But for most of them, we're thinking that I'm going to be at home with a mic, and we're just going to try to figure out how to overlay.
We'll do it over Skype eventually. We need more mics.
Once we figure that out.
We own one mic collectively.
That is, yes.
So, okay. Yeah, this was the Cardboard Crusaders cast, and I hope you enjoyed it. Please listen back next week if we feel like making another one.
It all depends on what you guys have to say.
Yeah, so all probably maybe one viewer, one listener.
If one person tweets at us, I promise to do this one more time.
Yeah, so one person just tweeted us, be like, I'll just tell us that you'll listen to us more. We have a lot to talk about.
You don't even have to listen to us again. I just want to know that someone listened.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, see you next week, guys. I don't know what day of the week yet either. We will find a stagnant schedule at some point, but
we were thinking about doing this every Thursday, but we're not quite sure, so. We will at least do one every week.
Yeah, so check back on MTGcast next week, and we'll see you later.
All right, see you guys.